This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up later on the show, we'll hear about a first-of-its-kind creative reuse center located in Over the Rhine. But first, in 1958, Richard and Mildred Loving were married in Washington, D.C., where interracial marriage was legal. But when they returned to their home in Virginia, one night as they slept, several police officers burst into their home and told them their D.C. marriage certificate was no good in Virginia. A judge imposed a one-year sentence on the newlyweds, so to stay out of jail, the Lovings agreed to move to D.C. and not to return to Virginia for 25 years. But after 5 years, they wanted to see their family and friends back home. The case made its way to the Supreme Court, where in 1967, the justices in a unanimous decision ruled in favor of the Lovings. That case was Loving v. Virginia, and it legalized interracial marriage across the country. Loving Day is next month, June 12th, to mark the 49th anniversary of the Supreme Court ruling. Here to discuss interracial marriage, along with the current realities faced by these couples, are Associate Professor of the Department of Women's, Gender, and Sexuality Studies at the University of Cincinnati, Dr. Carolette Norwood, journalist and founder of Write Up Creative Content, Fiasha Davis, wellness advocate at Go Beyond Medicine, Daniel Johnson Jr., and his wife, Jenny Johnson. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Carolette, Fiasha, Daniel, and Jenny, thanks all of you for joining us this afternoon. And correct me on this if I'm wrong, but all of you are in an interracial marriage, correct?
That's correct.
That's correct.
Carolette, when you hear the story of Richard and Mildred Loving, do you find it amazing that there was a time in our country when someone could face a jail sentence and even get kicked out of their home state for marrying someone from another race?
Not really.
Doesn't surprise you.
No, not really. I mean, if you think about marriage between same-sex couples and, you know, this process we just went through as a country, making sure that people had the right to marry irrespective of sexuality, that it's not incomprehensible that you had these kind of laws and the enforcement of those laws.
Yeah, I think at the time of the Supreme Court ruling, there were 16 states that had a form that it was miscegenation, I think was the term. Mm-hmm. They banned that interracial marriage. Mm-hmm. Daniel, what do you think? Do you find that kind of bizarre?
It does seem like we are from a different time, you know, in there. And I mean, I don't know here in the local tri-state area where any of the states in Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, were any of those, was it illegal in those areas?
I'm not sure about that. There's no 16
Kentucky.
States at the time had probably
Kentucky.
Yeah.
Yeah. As well as Ohio between 1861 and 1887.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And Ohio was a free state, right?
Right.
So,
And, you know, I went back to look at some of the laws before, and a lot of those laws specifically banned white and black interracial marriage. Mm-hmm. And not always just, you know, any races, but it was like specific to black and white.
Mm-hmm. Jenny, what do you think of that?
It does sound really weird, but I know that, like, my parents, they were married in the early 1970s, and I know that they had gone through a lot of different challenges in their marriage, and even, you know, later, you know, that with family members. And so I can maybe understand why they would have it there, but also just to have a peace in their own household, I guess.
Carolette, how far has interracial marriage come since those days?
It's been, so in terms of attitudes, there's been significant change, even since the late 1980s, where about, I have some statistics. About 13% of the U.S. supported interracial marriage. But today, it's closer to 60%. So in terms of attitudes, there's a significant difference. There's also a difference in terms of the number of people who are marrying, who are out marrying. And it varies both on race as well as gender. And so, for instance, among African Americans, black men are more likely to outmarry than black women. But among Asian women are more likely to outmarry than Asian men.
Any idea how many interracial marriages there are each year in the United States?
I don't have those current statistics. Mm-hmm. How much is it
grown? Has it grown quite a bit?
So, for instance, among African Americans, about 20% of all African Americans are married to someone who is non-African American. I can't speak for other groups because I don't know those numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Has this been a slow process?
Yes, of
course. I mean, 1967 was a long, well, it wasn't that long ago, right. But it was long enough. Yeah.
Right. Well, what strikes me about this process with Loving, and the same thing again earlier, as I mentioned with same-sex marriages, or abolition of slavery in the U.S., is that these processes are gradual, right? So they don't happen overnight. There's variability across different states. What happened in the Loving's case was that they did marry in a state where it was legal, but if they traveled outside of that state where it was illegal, that marriage wasn't recognized. This was the same for same-sex marriages. Making that law unconstitutional gave people the right to then travel across the country, whether they were, married in a free state, so to speak, or one that didn't allow it. So,
and I think in the case of the Lovings, they didn't even know it was illegal when they went back to Virginia. They had no idea.
Yeah, that's what they said. I saw this in a YouTube video, an original YouTube video of the couple. And that surprised me a little bit, but yeah, Virginia.
And it was
the very first state, in fact, to enact a ban against interracial intimacy. So Virginia, then Maryland. So it surprises me a little bit that they were unaware of it.
Fiasha?
And, when you look at laws versus attitudes, a lot of times, well, it is. The law is ahead of lots of attitudes. Mm-hmm. And I was actually kind of surprised that only 60% of people are okay with interracial marriage in a way. But, I mean, if you look at social media just recently, there have been controversies with ads featuring interracial couples, I believe Old Navy and Cheerios.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people were really upset about it. And I mean, it's surprising, but not surprising, because you know that people still have those attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, just not, like, as a person with my husband, it's not in my face. My husband's white. I'm the child of a biracial family, black and white, a white mother and a black father. And, people don't get in your face about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As individuals, but when you have that computer screen in front of you, sometimes like really nasty attitudes about it come out that are projected on things like these ads.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting.
I mean, just to echo what Fiasha said, I have to remind myself that I'm in an interracial marriage, because I don't really see, Jenny and I, we don't see each other that way. It's just when somebody else brings it up and it's like, oh, that's right, we are in an interracial relationship. And I can remember on our honeymoon back in 1995. Good thing that I remembered that, right, Jenny?
Yeah, that's good.
You wouldn't let him live that down, would you, Jenny?
we went on our honeymoon. It was in southeastern Ohio. Mm-hmm. And I can remember a moment when we walked into a restaurant and a woman saw my wife, and he said, oh, we don't get much of you kind of people here.
Really?
Of course, I was pretty shocked of that comment, and I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Grateful that my husband was there, and we just went ahead and ordered what we need to order and mm-hmm. went about our business,
So what, if any, problems did any of you face when you first started dating your spouse? And since Daniel, what how did that work out for you?
Yeah, I mean, I know Jenny can talk a little bit more about her family and how they responded. But for me and my family, back in the early 90s when we started dating, we weren't that close. I wasn't as close to my my dad and my stepmother as I wanted to be. My mom, she's always been very tolerant about this, other races and other things like that. It wasn't until I showed my dad and my stepmother and my younger brother and sister a photo of me and my girlfriend that they kind of took offense to us. And they said, well, I wish you would have asked us. And I kept thinking, I didn't realize that I had to ask her permission.
Dad, right.
So, I mean, they've all turned, they've all changed as they've seen the course of our relationship over the past 20-something years. But it's been a lot different now than it was when it first got started.
Yeah, Jenny?
I think for me, it was just, I grew up in my parents were in an interracial relationship, I thought that when I spoke to my mom about it, we'd be supportive, but she was kind of more afraid for me. I got scared that, I would go through some of the things that she had went through, and she was like, well, I'm not really sure you want to do this, it was kind of shocking that I thought she would be the one that was most supportive. But as time has gone by, that, she has been so much supportive and been there. And but also it was just kind of surprising in Dan's relationship, family, that was the response, But I am grateful for his mom, and that he was very supportive and wrote me like a huge letter, and that she was, excited that Dan had felt told that he has, love.
Hey, Carol, what about you? What was it like when you first started dating your spouse?
I'm from the South, so and my husband is Japanese, and I'm African American. So you can imagine people's reaction in terms of seeing an assortment, if you will, of those two people from those two backgrounds. I think in terms of my family, generally receptive. No particularly harsh memories of anyone taking any offense or saying anything inappropriate. My mother had a hard time maintaining the difference between Japanese and Chinese, for instance, and she constantly referred to my husband as Chinese. And if anybody know anything about Japanese and Chinese relations,
right,
it's been antagonistic for, years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a little bit of a struggle, but from family, not a problem, but when you mentioned having traveled outside of to
the greater Cincinnati area,
right, and having that encounter, I was thinking, generally, if I encounter any kind of harsh response or shock, it's usually when I'm traveling outside of my circles. And so if I go to some faraway place where, my husband and I are not known, I might get those funny looks.
Yeah.
But most of the time when I'm, in my skin, if you will, or in my area with my friends who also have quite a few of them have interracial or in interracial marriages. And I hadn't thought about it until I was putting together a list of guests to come over to my place on Sunday, and I think at least four of those couples, maybe five, are interracial, but they're also mostly academics too. So I don't know what that means per se, but yeah.
Fiasha, what about you? What was it like?
So for me, I feel really fortunate because I grew up in an interracial family and there was no issue whatsoever. My mom's white and my dad's African American. And so it's never been a problem. And really on my husband's side, his family has treated me like I feel like my mother-in-law is my second mother, really. I mean, they've been great. I'm his second wife. He was married previously, and I jokingly like to say he dated a black woman before me, and I like to say she broke them in. So they were kind of used to it by the time I came around. And they've been great. And just to talk outside of family reactions, like they've said, I think that sometimes more of the issue has come up when we're not together.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband, who is a white man, is around people, whether they be, clients, customers from his old businesses, or just people out in public where, the N-word's gotten dropped in conversation. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that, and I'm like, maybe initially when we first started dating, he's like, they're just ignorant and I'm not going to bring it up. I'm not going to say anything. And I'm like, no, you have to be down.
Right.
If somebody says something like that, you need to, call him out on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he really does, to his credit. And it's like when they're not with the spouse and you're out, a white man with white peers, like they think you're in the club.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay to talk about and say racial things.
Mm-hmm. And they don't know he's in
they
an
don't
interracial
know.
Marriage.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. So that's something that has happened.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney, and here to talk about interracial marriage and the current realities faced by these couples, our associate professor of the Department of Women's, Gender, and Sexuality Studies at the University of Cincinnati, Dr. Carolette Norwood, journalist and founder of Write Up Creative Content, Fiasha Davis, and wellness advocate and Go Beyond Medicine, Daniel Johnson Jr., and his wife, Jenny Johnson. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Daniel, when you were thinking about who am I going to marry, who's going to be my future spouse, did race ever come into that whole thinking?
No, actually not. I mean, the funny thing is, you know, Jenny and I, we met each other when we were in college at the University of Cincinnati. That we had a campus ministry through our church that was there, and we just, you know, started to build a friendship, and we, you know, it turned out that there was a mutual attraction, and we started dating and have never stopped. And started, you know, again, when I was thinking back to this, I wasn't interested in just, oh, I want to get a black girlfriend or I want to have a black wife. It was just, you know, I wanted a girlfriend. I wanted to find somebody that I could start dating and who I could share my life with. And even when we started to think about, you know, getting married, we didn't even think that. I mean, we had to count the cost of, you know, what might happen, but it was something that, you know, our love was that strong that we knew it wasn't going to be an issue.
Mm-hmm. And Jenny, I'm sure it was a mutual thing, wasn't it?
Definitely. I mean, I know that. Like I had grown up, my dad was white, and my mom's black. And you know, calling my, you know, let my mom know. Actually, my aunt and I had. I guess the biggest thing, color was a big factor in our family. And where, you know, she was like, "Well, you shouldn't date anyone too dark. You shouldn't be this," you know. And it was always. It wasn't how good this person was or what the person's character was. It was more of what color was he, you know, and it was just, I knew that, you know, what she was saying was wrong and how she felt was wrong, you know, but it bothered me. But it wasn't, you know, when I saw Dan, it wasn't because because he's white, that's who I want to marry. It was just because it wasn't even really a factor. It was just like the one person I fell in love with, I was attracted to. And so, you know, growing up with that, it just, you know, just, that wasn't what I believed. That, you know, it was something that, you know, it had to be love first before, you know, race wasn't the most important thing in our marriage, in our relationship.
Caroline, what about you? What was your thinking as you were looking for your future spouse?
I met my husband through mutual friends, and kind of like Dan, you were in a social group through your church, university ministry group. And likewise for myself, I was a French major. I lived in a dormitory. Oh, it wasn't a dorm. It was an apartment complex near the university where a lot of foreign students live. I was living with two French roommates because, well, I thought that was a great way to hone my French speaking skills. And a lot of foreign students lived there because of the proximity to the university. A lot of them didn't have cars, so they needed to walk.
Right.
And we had potlucks and parties, and that's how I met my husband.
And for you, race wasn't an issue.
It was not race or nationality.
I like this guy.
Right? So, yeah, race or nationality was not an issue. And I think this is important to bring up because I think a lot of times with interracial marriage, as people make the assumption, there's an old theory called the social exchange theory, which made the assumption that blacks and whites in particular exchange a lower, higher status. And this was some sort of rational choice agreement between couples that married, right? So for a black man to marry a white woman, he would have to have achieved education-wise and have high income, and white women trade lower educational and income status for that. And so, and race And so, yeah, so there's an exchange between the two. And so I disagree with that theory. I think what normally happens is that people do meet across shared interests, right? Social groups or whatever. And that proximity also matters, that you're in the same circles, right? And so it's, you know, one of those theories that's out there, right? And the assumption, too, I think, is that's implied is that for African-Americans who are in those relationships, that they're dealing with some sort of internalized racism. Not to say that doesn't happen, because there are people, as Jenny kind of gave mention to, that place premiums on color and features that, you know, that hold racist attitudes. And so I'm not saying that doesn't happen at all, but I think generally speaking, interracial couples, just like anybody else, are people who meet because of they're more likely to meet just the same as you, if you're assuming your wife is white American, and shared social groups.
So it's common interests.
Common interests, okay. Right.
Fiasha, what about you?
So my story's different, and I'm going to date myself here. I met my husband through MySpace.
Oh, yeah.
And we, like, just exchanged messages. And really, like, the first message he sent me was, "I love your smile," and we just started talking from there. And we talked back and forth through messaging. Then we talked on the phone. I'm like, I got to make sure I can talk to this guy. Like, he's not a dummy. And, you know, we can have a conversation.
But it sounds like, again, race is not entering into the equation
in
any way whatsoever.
Yeah. So we met that way. And then we finally met in person. And I'll say one thing really quick. So one thing that gave me pause, and I hope he doesn't kill me for saying this, is he asked me if I liked cream in my coffee. Talking about, like, the black and white there. And I'm like, I don't know about this dude. He might be, like, a little bit. But, you know, he's just a joker. And, you know, we love each other. We've been married 5 years, and we dated for about 5 years before that. But, I mean, race wasn't an issue at all.
513-419-7100 to join us. And Joy in West Side joins us now. Hi, Joy.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the call. So I can appreciate the comments of whomever a moment ago on the panel, the lady who mentioned common interest and just like anything.
Yeah, Carol Ladd.
That, yeah, that can happen. Okay. But I just wanted to interject in the conversation. I know this is a conversation about the turmoil that you all face, but I just want to inject something that's a little unpopular. And it's just to say that there is another segment. So I am a black woman, and, you know, oftentimes I don't go around interjecting my thoughts on everybody, by the way. I don't go around and walk up to a couple who's interracial and say, hey, I don't, you know, approve or however. It's just that, but if it ever comes up in a candid discussion, have lots of white friends who it has. And, you know, I will express that not everyone who is resistant a little, if that's how you want to put it, to the idea of, and I'm speaking specifically of black and white dating, is because they're running around with a Confederate flag or what have you. It's, as an African-American woman, if that's what you want to, if people would say that, is because we are facing a lot of flight in terms of black men and therefore a lot of less choices. And I don't expect anyone on the panel to agree or understand or be empathetic. That's not why I'm calling. It's just to say that there is a perspective that there's a lot of societal reasons why there are less black men, including incarceration, mass incarceration, and other elements. So it's not all interracial dating, but that does play a perspective that the more black men are determined to go outside the race for whatever reasons those are, it leaves black women with less and less choices of those of us who would just like to marry our own cultural, you know, our person to our own heritage. So it's just a perspective I wanted to present. And like I said, I know it's an unpopular one, but in the fact is, and I'll just close with it on this, it is the fact that there are some black men, though, that do, just kind of like the example that was just stated on the panel, that at the end of the day, they saw a picture and they saw a white woman and that's what they wanted. Mm-hmm. And I don't think people understand that can be frustrating to those of us who are black women and facing less men. So just again, a perspective, and I thank you for letting me say it. So.
Joy, thank you for the call.
Joy, I don't think your opinion is unpopular. And what I do think is that it was very honest. A lot of African-American women shared that frustration. The numbers I have suggest that 90% of African-American women who are married are married to African-American men, which basically means that only about 10% of us are marrying non-African-American men. And it's just the opposite with African-American men who are, I think, one quarter of them have a non-black spouse. And those frustrations are real. And they're meaningful, and they're valid. That said, I think a part of something we as African-American women might consider is marrying people who are non-African-American or dating people who are non-African-American. And that includes men from Africa or men from the West Indies. Sometimes I've heard people who have some prejudice about marrying foreign black men, that they only want to be with an African-American male. And that's not bad in and of itself, but if, you know, availability is an issue, then it might be worth considering other options.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, and I want to add to that, too. Like, I get it, you know, and there are other cultures where maybe like in the Jewish cultures where people really think it's important to preserve that culture through the family, and they want to marry people in that culture. And I understand that. But, you know, and if that works for you, that's great. And if that's important to you, I understand it. But also, you know, having said that, at the end of the day, it's about the person that you love and who you want to spend the rest of your life with and who you want to have, you know, a relationship and children with. And that's what's most important to me at the end of the day.
For those of you who have children, what's that been? What's it been like for them?
Jenny, do you want to talk about our daughter?
I could talk about her all day, but,
of course you can.
Our daughter, she's in high school, last year of high school. And, I think that kind of helped change the heart of my father-in-law. And I think she melted his heart,
yep.
You know, to see what he was missing and see that when she came into the scene that, you know, she just, I guess, just kind of, like I said, melted his heart. And, I guess through that, I mean, just seeing with Keisha, just, kudos there. but just how she's, Keisha, she's not just a young lady that's black or white. She's, you know, she's her own identity. She's who she is. And I think it's just making sure, but for her, teaching her, about her, Black history, about, you know, the things that we've gone through in our marriage and different things that some of the challenges is there, but not just as a discouragement, but just for her to understand that, you know, just how valuable this is in our marriages and our relationship with one another. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just been helpful having her, changing the mindset of, I guess, the family and stuff.
And, you know, I just have to, you know, again, echo what she just said, because I don't think, I mean, Keisha definitely is in touch with both her African-American heritage and her, you know, white American heritage. I guess that's, for lack of a better term there.
Mm-hmm. Carolette, since you're our sociology expert here, is it cultural differences? Can cultural differences actually be bigger than race differences when it comes to marriages and relationships?
Well, race is cultural. Uh-huh. It's culturally defined. It's, you know, you can't disconnect that, right? That's where it's situated, the concept of race.
Right.
What was the other part of the question?
Just the fact that you find that cultural differences might be bigger than race differences, but you're saying they're the same thing. So
yeah, race, yeah, race is defined within one's culture. I mean, it's not ubiquitous right. across different nation states, right? So how one might be defined in the U.S. might be very different in someplace else. So
I'd have to agree with what you said, because there's, one family could be, the culture of a family could be mm-hmm. such that there's the mom and dad are very strict, mm-hmm. or the mom and dad could be very lenient, and then, that can play into the interactions. And, again, I think race would just be one aspect, in our family. I think it's just a very minor aspect.
Mm-hmm. How was it, your husband's Japanese, so how was it when, as far as like the differences, how did that all fit together for you? Was that difficult adjusting to the differences?
In our family, my husband has a salient identity as a Japanese person, and I as an African-American person. He speaks Japanese in the house. Our kids have Japanese names. In fact, my daughter just the other day asked, well, which is she more like? And I said, you are you, right? To outsiders, if they look at my daughter, if I'm not around, people assume that she's Asian. Her features look more akin to my husband, as opposed to my son, who has, kind of big curly locks, and people can see that he's probably have some mixture of African-American. And so for me and our family, we come as two separate things that are standing in solidarity. Right. And so our kids are not forced to choose one or the other, but to recognize both of those things equally. And so,
you just brought something really important that it is, because and I saw this when I started dating Jenny and I went into with her family is, it was like the first time that we that I visited her family. They served me, but then the second time they said, "Dan, you're on your own. you know where the food is. You go do this." And they just basically started welcoming me into their family, even though Jenny and I were still dating. Mm-hmm. And that's just, and that's the way that it is with my family now. Whenever we go and visit with my family,
mm-hmm. Do you think acceptance of interracial marriage is going to keep growing?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, it has no choice, because this mm-hmm. it's becoming less. And I mean, and again, I'm speaking, and I guess all of us are speaking from the perception mm-hmm. of being in an interracial marriage, an interracial relationship. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I can't help but think that it's going to become more, because people are not really paying attention to race interracial marriages as the way that they were back when, like, our parents were growing up.
And whites will not be the majority for much longer. So. I mean, with the growing Hispanic population, that won't happen for, I think by 2050, it used to be projected. That's, again, a long time since I've looked at those numbers, because my research is in a different area now. But we used to say by 2050, whites would no longer be the majority in this country. So, yeah. It's going to change. It's changing. It's changing rapidly.
And
you see it on television, whether it's commercial television shows like Scandal. There's a growing acceptance for interracial marriages.
Good point. Yeah, great point. Thank you. Jenny and Daniel, Carolette, Fiasha, appreciate you joining us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Went fast, didn't it?
It did.
Associate Professor of the Department of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies at the University of Cincinnati, Dr. Carolette Norwood, journalist and founder of Write Up Creative Content, Fiasha Davis, and wellness advocate at Go Beyond Medicine, Daniel Johnson Jr., and his wife, Jenny Johnson. Coming up, we'll hear about a new local business that provides artists and teachers with recycled, affordable materials and supplies. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.